So without any further ado, the book of praise. I believe this is my part two to my last sermon from the book of Psalms. Slide one, please, Joe. According to Webster's dictionary, praise is defined as to say or write good things about someone or something. Thus, we have Psalms. There was a psalmist who wanted to write, and he was writing, and he was talking to God. And because he was talking to God, and he started to write. And so, therefore, we have the collection of these praises, and it's called Psalms. Praise is defined as to express approval of someone or something, to express thanks to or love and respect for God. Do you know that your praise demonstrates something? If you don't praise, it demonstrates something. Can I get an amen? Amen. Your praise demonstrates your thanks, your approval, your appreciation, your honor, your desire to rejoice, your desire to reveal in excitement. Remember I mentioned that last 2 weeks ago? I mentioned how excited I got when my Cubs won. I mean, there was a demonstration of the excitement in me at 12:45 a.m. that I was excited. When we praise God, there is a demonstration of a desire to be excited, a desire to rejoice, and there is excitement. But you know what? Depending on what you are praising about, it'll either come naturally or it'll come out forcibly. I remember Shannon sharing stories about her dad when it would come time for his birthday or Christmas and the girls would get him something. I mean, he loved his daughters. He only had two of them and he loved his daughters. And it was kind of forced, you know, because he would open a gift and I mean, you know, he would ho-hum, you know, make, you know, and it was kind of funny to them. I mean, he appreciated the thought, you know, but I think because it wasn't, you know, green paper with dead presidents on there. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it was just something that they always, you know, smiled about and thought about how dad he really showed how excited he was with my gift. How about you? Oh, yeah, he did. Now, listen, if you know me, if you don't know me by now, this message by no means is a weapon, is a tool to force upon you how you should worship. But there's a verse in the Bible, John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Joe, can you put that up on the screen? We need to learn how to worship. Now, for some of you that are like me, you're like, why do you need to learn? If you're excited and if you really appreciate, if you really approve, if you're really thankful, if you really, you know, want to rejoice, why should it come hard? It comes hard to some of you, doesn't it? To rejoice out in public. Maybe to rejoice it while you're in your secret closet. Maybe, I mean, because it's hard for people to forgive themselves. It's hard for people to look at themselves the way God looks at you. Why? Because maybe your upbringing, all you heard was a bunch of negative things and down things. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never be somebody. So you always look at yourself through the lenses or through the view of someone else and never through the view of God. We need to learn what it means to praise Him. It says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit. He's not flesh. He's not of this world. God is spirit. He's supernatural. And those who worship Him must, not if you feel like it, not if it's only on Sunday, but you must worship in spirit and in truth. Father, I pray you give us a revelation of your word. I pray, God, that you will teach us, Lord, as we look through the book of praises, how the psalmists, Lord, they wrote, they were speaking to you and they wrote down how they praised you. And Lord, how we ought to learn what it means to praise you, what it means to worship you, Father. Teach us that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, in this passage, it's not even my notes, but I feel like the Lord wants me to say this. Jesus is talking to a woman that only knew to praise God, you had to go to a certain place. And Jesus is saying, forget all that. Forget all that. You don't have to go to that place anymore. You can do it right here, girl. You can go ahead and do that right here, right now, because the Father is looking for those that don't care what people say, that don't care how they feel, that don't care what time it is, that don't care what time of the day it is, but that they will worship God in spirit and in truth, in reality, on the inside and on the outside. That's what God is looking for. We are to allow God's spirit, God's word to teach us. Your demonstration of praise and worship should be a result of your daily and week-long relationship with Him. Look, if you're coming here to stand in front of to stand in a room full of people, and this is the only time you praise and you worship God, no wonder it's hard. No wonder many times when I look out into the audience, yes, I do, I see straight faces. I have to look over people's, I have to look at the sign, I have to look up, I look up to the ceiling. Why? Because I don't want to get caught up in the fact of just, you know, deer in headlights. You ever heard that, you know, that phrase? But see, I don't know what you've gone through. God knows. But if this is the only time that you take and you spend and you put effort in to praise and worship God, no wonder it takes, no wonder by the last song you're like, oh, is that it? No wonder you look around and you see people really getting it, people really, you know, going into it like this, and they, you know, they're making faces or they're, maybe they're down like this. You're like, man, what's wrong with them? They're in it. They're in it. And maybe you don't feel that. You don't understand what's going on. Maybe if you started last Monday and every day and you made time and you made an effort to praise and to worship Him, that when we came here together, it's a different story. There's a different sense. There's a different move. There's a different feeling. And we don't go by feelings, but there's a different feeling that's going on. And so your demonstration of praise and worship should be a result of your daily, weekly, long relationship with God, with Jesus, with Holy Spirit. If right now you're feeling convicted, it's not my doing. It's God's doing. It's the Holy Spirit pointing things out to you. Our praise should be something that we understand. And if you don't, you know what? That's a great. God will teach you if you're wanting Him to teach you. If you're wanting to learn, He'll teach you what it means to praise. Because a lot of times people think praise is just going to church, clapping, singing a song. That's not praise. That's just getting along with everybody else, singing the same song. Really, sometimes stop what you're singing. Everyone else is singing, just sometimes. I dare you to do this because the Spirit has told me to do this. Stop what you're singing and really think, do I really mean that? The next stanza, the next line, do I really want to do that? Oh, wait, yeah, I do. And then you start to sing because sometimes you can just get in the you know, even those of you that don't have rhythm, you can get into the rhythm of the music and, you know, you're kind of swaying, you're off beat, you're like this or whatever. Sometimes I get off beat and you could probably catch that, right, Jacob? You can probably catch that sometimes that I get off beat or whatever, but you get into that and you're like, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's okay. God doesn't look bad at you or doesn't look down at you because you're not in tune, you're not in step. If your focus and your heart is on Him, that's what He's looking for. That's what He's looking for. So during praise and worship, if you're looking at your watch, during praise and worship, if you're thinking about the game or the food or whatever, you're standing or you're sitting there in the flesh. And it says that God is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let this sink in. Let the Spirit continue to speak to you. Again, if you're feeling convicted, it's not my doing. It's Holy Spirit that is talking to you. So our praise should be something that we understand, something that we do because of who God is. Because of who He is, therefore, we are willing to respond in such a way to honor God with our voices, to honor God with our instruments, to honor God with our talents. Slide 2, please, Joe. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now, I know this is a little different, but it's a different version. But thanks be to God who in Christ always, not sometimes, always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. People need to see that, man, that there's a praise, there's a, you know, that phrase, there's a jump in your step or there's a skip in your step. I mean, the fact that we are triumphant in Christ. Now, when I read that verse right away, the Spirit brought Mark 11 verses 8 through 10. Go there real quick. Now, while you're going there, do you see yourself as triumphant in Christ? Do you see it? See, because if you don't, it's very difficult for you to rejoice in that verse. If you don't see yourself as triumphant in Christ, I am a born again creation. I'm God's masterpiece. I am a friend of God. If you don't see yourself at that, that verse is not going to get you. that verse is not going to get you. It's not going to do nothing to you. It's going to be like right over your head, 747. I mean, it's not going to, 1215? No, some of you get that joke. But it's just going to go right over you. Do you see yourself as triumphant in Christ? Praise him if you do. If not, then pray. God, help me to see me the way you see me. God, help me to see you for who you really are. I'm going back to Isaiah when he looked at God and he saw God. And because he was talking with God, he was spending time with God, and God revealed himself to him. And he said, I am undone, because he saw the holiness of God. We are born again. We are new creatures in Christ, God's masterpiece, reconciled to God. Let the redeemers of the Lord say so. Oh, that was weak. That was weak. I know that's old. I heard it a long time ago, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
So.
Oh, that's still a little weak, but all right. You're getting there. Good. Keep praying. What does or should praise look like to you? Now, as you think about just a little while ago, some people that were praising, God doesn't want you to praise like them. God doesn't want you to praise like Shannon. God doesn't want you to praise like Jacob. God doesn't want you to praise God like Tommy. He wants you to praise for who you see him to be, for who he is, for who you see him to be as your Lord, your God, your Redeemer, your Creator. Worship him because of who he is. That's what God wants you to see him as, and that you would worship him. What does it look like? Man, that you just realize, I was in the mire. I was in some junk. I was in the horrible pit of despair. That's where I was. And God picked me up. God cleansed me just as I am. I came to him and he set me free. He forgave me of my sins and he cleaned me up and he gave me a new life and he's given me a family and he's given me all of these things. But even though if he didn't give me all those things, he loved me first. That's why I praise him. Now, let me ask this question before we go to Mark 11. What should praise look like? Should it look like being reserved and quiet? Or should it be boisterous and loud? Or should it be vice versa? Should it be boisterous and loud and not reserved? Or should it be reserved and then not boisterous? Depending on what your thought and praise of why you're going to praise him or worship him. Shannon mentioned that worship means to just lay down flat, your face towards the ground, and just worship. Now, I know that some of you that are in the military, somehow it might just be a quick reaction. Attention on deck! And all of a sudden, everybody in the room stands up. I scared some of you. That's all right. All right. But whenever there's a group of people in a room and some officer of a higher rank is coming in, someone notices, someone better say, attention on deck. Everybody stands up. It's kind of, you know, silly, sad when you think about it. There's more honor and respect to that person who wears brass than the one who created us. When Shannon mentioned worship, I challenge you now, but God challenged me. Worship me. Even if it looks silly, even if it looks weird, worship me. I challenge you, because I was really, you know, thinking about the fact of what Shannon said, that when you go to sleep, or maybe before you go to sleep, or maybe when you wake up, lay down on your face, lay down on your stomach before God and say, God, you are my God and I worship you. Maybe drop down to one knee. God, you are my God and I worship you. I mean, a very simple thing is that I think a lot of people have just taken it for granted and maybe just played it out, is when we bow our head before we eat. I mean, if you look around, a lot of people do that. And they're not even really real faithful churchgoers, but a lot of people do that. I think it's played out. But one of the things that I want us to see is that God is God and we are to worship him. And why would we reverence or honor someone with brass on their collar and yet not honor and reverence our holy God? And no matter who's in the room, what should matter is the reason for giving such praise to him. So at the triumphant entry, Mark 11, verse 8, it says, and many spread, they spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That word, those two words, cried out. When people, it says, who followed, cried out. In the Greek is kradzo. Now get this, that word, that Greek word kradzo means to croak as a raven. It means to scream. It means to call aloud, to shriek, to exclaim. When was the last time, maybe in your prayer closet, maybe in your car, that you screamed out, thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, God! And you didn't find money. And you didn't find your keys, like I said 2 weeks ago. But because of who he is, why praise? Let's go to Psalm 149. My first point was the fact, and I skipped it, was your praise. What it does, what it demonstrates. The next point is why praise? Psalm 149, let's go there. Praise the Lord. In Hebrew, praise means halal. To make a show and boast and celebrate. That's what David did. He made a show and he praised God and he didn't care what other people thought or said. He didn't care about his reputation of being the king. He took off his robe and he went out in his linen ephod and he praised God. He was boisterous, he was loud, and he danced. Praise does something to you. If you don't know how to praise, then pray and ask God to teach you. Learn to do it correctly. Now, I'm not saying all this again, and I'm not using this as a weapon to tell you how pastor wants you to praise. You need to praise God for who he is. Praise him correctly, not out of force, not because of a guilt trip, but because you see and you realize he is worthy and deserving of all praise. He is worthy and deserving of all praise. Learn to do it correctly. Learn to do it that when you do do it, that you mean it and that you don't hold anything back. Praise affects you mentally. You want to know why? Because when you're praising, what are you thankful for? What are you thinking about? I mean, what's going on in your mind? What are you thankful for? Who and what are you approving of? When you praise, it affects you mentally. When you praise, it affects you physically. Why are you excited? Why are you making noise and clapping your hands and lifting your hands up? Why are you jumping around or swaying or, you know, the offbeat people? You know, why are you doing it? Who are you honoring and rejoicing? Who are you honoring and rejoicing? Make sure that the reaction to praise, there's a reasoning behind it. It's not forced. But it's because of who he is, out of your love and adoration. It's true. It's genuine. It's to your sovereign king. So Psalm 149 says, praise the Lord. Halal, the Lord, to make a show, to boast, to celebrate the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. I guess there was an old one. So sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Must have been a new day. So the new day, a new song. God gives us new mercies every day, right? I mean, a new thanks. God, thank you for today. It's not even 10. It's not even 1 p.m. And God, thank you. I hope I didn't use up all of your mercy for me today. But thank you, God. Sing a new song. Verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. God's people reminded themselves of their maker and king. How often do you remind yourself, oh God, you're an awesome God. Who is your God? Who do you serve? As Joshua said in the last chapter, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. So fathers, choose to serve the Lord, you and your family. Verse 3, let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praise to him with a timbrel and harp. Action is required or is it suggested? What do you think here? Is it required or suggested? Because he's holy. Again, it's not to force you. It's not to force the agenda that God wants a bunch of jumping beans jumping around praising him because he has it that way. Because he is God and he's worthy to be praised. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Listen, what is your reaction of knowing that he takes pleasure in you? Again, some of you look at yourselves, Why would he want to take pleasure in me? I don't even take pleasure in me. Look at how I am. Look what I do. Look how many mistakes. Jesus came to die for you, to make you new, to make you a friend of God, to reconcile you back to him. So when God looks at you, he says, man, you're good. Oh, I love you. All my eyes on you. I'm watching you. I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He takes pleasure in you. Verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. You sick? You're lying in your bed? You tired? You're lying in your bed? You might be on your deathbed? Guess what? It's a time to sing aloud, to be joyful in the King. At any time, at every time, let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Learn to praise God actively. Use God's word. Our praise impacts the supernatural. Verse 7, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people. Our praise impacts the supernatural, the unseen. If you don't believe it, ask Paul and Silas. We're going to go there in a little bit. Acts chapter 16. Ask Paul and Silas if their praise didn't do something supernatural, didn't affect the unseen. It did. In verse 8, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Our praise influences the spiritual today more than the physical. Again, our praise, our prayers, what we do in the spirit, it influences more than what is going on in the physical. Verse 9, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Halal the Lord. Celebrate. Boast in the Lord. Your honor is to live to praise God. Slide 3, please. Who needs to praise? Who needs to praise? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So let's go to Acts chapter 16, verse 20 through 34. Here, these guys are being beaten. Verse 20, it says, and Paul and Silas were brought to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to tickle them. Now, commanded them to be beaten with rods, to be beaten with rods, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they were being whipped, they were being beaten. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely, having received such a charge. See, because if later in the story, you'll know that if any jailer lost any prisoners, the jailer would lose his life. Having received such a charge, he put them into the innermost prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Listen, that's not today's Holiday Inn prisons, folks. This is a prison. They're dirty. They're chained up. They're beaten, and they're just left there. They're not taken outside, you know, to go play basketball or handball. They're not taken to the water fountain every 15 minutes. That's not this kind of prison. This prison, they're in the innermost prison, and they're fastened in the feet. Their feet is fastened in the stocks. Verse 25. But at midnight, they didn't have a clock. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from the sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Being beaten, wrongfully accused, yet praised instead of complained. How many of you ever complain instead of praised? Oh, come on. All of us should be put our hands up. And you're not even beaten and put in the innermost prison. Being beaten, wrongfully accused, yet praised instead of complained. Saying hymns instead of contemplating their lost cause for the gospel. Any one of you ever in your time of walking with the Lord ever thought, I should just give up. I can't do this anymore. I mess up. I keep messing up all the time. I'm no good as a Christian. Paul and Silas, they didn't go there. They didn't go there. They began to sing hymns. That word hymn is humneo, to sing a religious ode, to celebrate God in song. And again, in Hebrew, praise means halal, to make a show, boast, to celebrate. These guys celebrated. They sang songs. They sang hymns. They praised. They made a noise. Notice that this praise of theirs is happening at the worst time possible. They are bleeding and hurting, yet they have made a choice. They have made a time to praise the Lord. That it truly is a true praise in the storm. To praise the Lord. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, if you got rhythm or not, if you're charismatic or not, if you're timid or not, if you're confrontational or not. If you learn to praise the Lord and realize and understand why we ought to praise the Lord, you'll praise Him. It won't be forceful. It won't be forcibly. It'll come from your heart. We must learn what it means to praise the Lord, regardless if we feel the goosebumps or not. Slide 4 and 5. Let's go to slide 4 real quick. I found Shannon, she majored in psychology, so I've heard these words before many times. But there are four major categories that people's personalities fall into. And this is a little comic. It says, the woman says that glass is half full. The guy says the glass is half empty. The other guy says half full, no wait. Half empty, no. Half what was the question? The other guy says, hey, I ordered a cheeseburger. I'm not sure if that truly defines us. Let's go to slide 5. There are four main categories that people's personalities fall into. Sanguine, you're optimistic, you're active, you're social. Choleric, you're short-tempered, fast, or irritable. Melancholic, you're analytical, wise, and quiet. You're phlegmatic, you're relaxed and peaceful. And they went ahead and combined it to the characters of Winnie the Pooh. And I thought, wow, that really fits. But see, all of these personality types should learn to praise the Lord. So someone who's phlegmatic and melancholic can't say, well, I'm just phlegmatic and melancholic and I get a free pass at praising the Lord. I don't have to praise the Lord. I don't have to. Well, wait a minute. There was a verse that said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Wait a minute. There is a God who loved us first and loved us regardless of the sin that we were in, face full of it. And yet He still loved us and sent His very own Son to die for us. Wait a minute, it doesn't matter if you're phlegmatic, melancholic, choleric, or sanguine. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So if you fall in any one of those categories and it's difficult for you to praise the Lord, we are studying the book of praise. Read a psalm, learn, pray, ask the Lord to show you, to teach you what it means to praise, to help you understand why you should praise. Listen, you're not going to praise like me. You may not get as loud as me. That's okay. You don't have to be like me. It's not a competition.
That's right.
It isn't. It shouldn't be. Should it make a difference what personality a person has? Therefore, that's the kind of praise that they're going to give? No. Maybe you might sound loud or you might not be so loud. Maybe you might dance. Maybe you not might dance. I mean, maybe some of you shouldn't dance. I mean, but all of us should praise the Lord because He is worthy to be praised. If no one knows what or how to praise, ask God, God, forgive me, but God, teach me. God, show me. God, remind me of what You've done. God, I just want to sit here and remind myself of who You are. Begin there. Begin there of who He is, because He's the one who started it all. When you learn what it means to praise the Lord, when you learn to realize that it is because of who God is, one would gladly make a show. One would gladly boast. One would gladly celebrate loudly to their Savior and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For He is worthy because of Jesus. I am triumphant in Him. And God says so. The response of the grateful is evident in praise. The response of the forgiven is evident in praise. The response of the lost is evident in praise. Therefore, we should learn that this praise should come naturally as we hold nothing back because our God deserves it all. You know, many athletic teams and high schools have a fight song. Some of you remember your fight song? Anybody? Some of you are like, I can't go back that far. A fight song is some song that prompts an eruption of voices to be in unison to show pride and excitement. Slide 6. Some of you might like Mandisa and you might like this song. I can feel the hope that's rising in me. It's a good morning. There's a song that she sings that, and you know, it's got a good upbeat. And maybe some of you, you got that on your, you know, you already got that on your iPod, or you got that, you know, set in your car, and you just always play it in the morning while you're drinking coffee, because it keeps you from having a mean face towards the other people that are trying to drive, that are trying to learn how to drive. And so it keeps you from having, your fight song keeps you from having road rage. Your fight song keeps you from giving up. Your fight song keeps you from having your head hang down low and your head is high, because God is my glory and the lifter of my head. That's Psalm 3. That's a praise song. Here's mine. And I'm not going to sing it for you because I don't want to ruin it. But, you know, your fight song makes it easier for you to praise the Lord for his love, forgiveness, and holiness. So here's mine. Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love. I will rise, stand redeemed. Heaven open over me. To your name eternally, endless glory I will bring. I will stand, or I will rise, stand redeemed. Heaven open over me. And some of you might remember this other one, because sometimes oldies but goodies come back. You know, they just, I wasn't brought up in church, but because I've, you know, when I met Shannon and I just heard all those old songs that her mom and dad played, and they played here, and it goes, I'm going to try this. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. And you just keep, you continue to sing this song, and somehow it just does something. Maybe it does something to you. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's something that is so old, I don't even remember that. Or man, I've never heard of that one before, but there's a song that just resonates. Where does it come from? I don't have a good memory a lot of times. And it's not an old age, but I don't have a good memory sometimes. So it's not like I have that song memorized and I have a bunch of, it's a song that comes from here. It's a song that I heard and it meant something to me. It's a song that does something to me. It's a fight song that I sing it. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. And there's a part that says, kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about, yes, there's something about that name. The next song that we're going to play is a video. It's one of my other fight songs. And before they play it, I want to just close with Psalm 148. And if you can get ready for baptism, we have a baptism today. And I'm just so thankful that God's changing lives. Psalm 148 says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens and you waters above. Listen, this is praise of inanimate objects. And these creations that God created, praise him. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all the peoples, princes and all the judges of the earth. Now we're talking about the people, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above all, his glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Halal, praise the Lord. Listen, if you're here today and the Lord Jesus is not your Savior, I so gladly would love to introduce him to you. because he has saved me and delivered me from all the sin and wickedness that I was involved in. Whatever pit of despair you're in, he wants to save you and rescue you from. If you've already been rescued and you've already been redeemed, let the redeemed the Lord say so. If he's already saved you, but no, you know what? You've caught yourself and you've discovered, I don't praise like I should. I hold back and the Holy Spirit has convicted me. Take this time during this, one of my next fight songs, take this time to repent of that. You see, God is looking. He wants his believers, his children, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Not the way you see it, the way he sees it. Not the way you feel like it, but the way he's worthy of praise and worship. So just say a quick prayer. Lord, forgive me. Make sure that you make this time. Paul and Silas did, and they're in a whole lot worse situation you are in today. They made the time, and they spoke out to God, and they praised him. Make the time to repent and to ask God to teach you, to help you, to learn what it means, to fully understand, to praise him, to magnify him, to worship him.